Amen. Thank you so much. So, how many of you guys are tired right now? Well, you know what? You're going to get lunch after. You're going to get some food for your soul. Just if you give me 20 minutes, I'll probably talk for 20 minutes. If you can stay awake, I promise you, it'll be good for you. If you really want to take a nap, go ahead. I guess I can't stop you. But I'm teaching on a subject today that I am most known for. And it's not like there's nothing else to teach in the Bible. But for me, this is the deal. What I'm going to talk about today, it's key. And if, you know, have you ever tried to go into a house with the wrong key? If you don't get this today, you will struggle. Now, we all struggle as humans. Ooh, we got a lot of sleepers today. You all struggle as humans. We're going to struggle as followers of Jesus. But if you don't get this, what we're going to talk about today, you will really struggle. This is the deal. Jesus gave this, what we're going to talk about, to the disciples. He talked to the disciples about this. So this is a message for people who are followers of Jesus. Okay, if you're just visiting today or you don't know what you think about Jesus, this message, I'm not saying you couldn't learn from it. You might, your heart might change, but it's really a message that Jesus gave to his followers. And so that's who it's for. It's going to set us up for, we're going to start a series on love next Sunday. You know, if you've been coming to Community Test for a while, you know we do series. How many of you were here for when we talked about Old Testament characters? Yeah, okay, so a lot of you guys remember that. How about when we did the Sermon on the Mount? And we were in that for weeks, right? So we're going to start a series on love. But it's not on the love God has for us. It's mostly on how to love, what love looks like. And we can't really start that series or even begin to love others if this love relationship isn't what it should be. So that's what I want to talk on today. I want to talk about abiding in Jesus. So we're going to read. Actually, let me pray first. Jesus, I give this time to you. I ask that you will release your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts as we engage with your words, that you would give us a clear understanding of what it is you're saying to us, that you would challenge us and encourage us and transform us and show us how much you love us, that you are love, that we can live loved if we abide in Jesus. Amen. So we're going to read John chapter 15, and we're going to read the first five verses. Okay, so this is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, just so you know, back in that day, and still in other places in the world, they have vines where they grow grapes and make wine and whatever. And so Jesus is referring to a grapevine here, okay? And so he's saying that he is the vine and that his Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, that does not grow grapes, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. What does prune mean? Just to snip, to cut. What have you guys ever had? When I lived in Michigan, I had a house, I had lots of flowers, and in the fall, I would clip them back, and in the spring, the following spring, what would happen? An explosion of flowers, because I had pruned them. So that's what that means. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, say it with me, apart from me, you can do nothing. So what does that look like? What does that even mean? What does it mean to abide in Jesus? Some translations of the Bible use the word remain in me, but I like abide because abide to me means like you are with me. I am living in you and you are living in me and we are connected and our hearts are connected and we are abiding. So I like abide. But how do you do that? And Jesus gives this beautiful illustration. Now, don't laugh at my little twig here. If I could have brought a tree in, I would have loved to do that. But I couldn't pull it out of the ground, and I wasn't strong enough to carry it here, so I got this twig from Central Park. Thank you. Thank you. So, you know what? Jesus gives the most perfect illustrations. Like, you can't do better than he does. So, this, we're going to say, is the vine. And this would be Jesus. And this branch here is all of us. But let's just say me. This is me. I'm the branch. Now, is the branch a branch because it worked really hard to become a branch? It went to school, it read books, it worshiped, it tithed, and it became this amazing branch. No, it didn't, right? If there were grapes growing on it, how did the grapes get there? Did the branch work really hard to make the grapes there? No, what did the branch do? It stayed connected to the vine. It just grew out of the vine. Stayed connected. They're connected. They're grafted together. With the right amount of sun and the right amount of water, it grows and it stays together and it grows and it bears fruit and that's all. And that's what Jesus is comparing to us, to our life in him. It's staying connected, being grafted in. But how do you do that? Abiding starts with prayer. And not, I'm not saying you go into a church and you're holy and you do a rosary or you do, have repeat. So I'm talking about a conversation. Prayer is a conversation with God. I didn't say now a lecture to God or a wish list for God or a to-do list for God. It's a conversation where you share your heart and you talk to him and you hear what he has to say to you. It's a conversation. And it begins there. So how do you do that? First of all, you have to get alone with God. You just have to. There is no other way. So let me ask you, if you started dating someone and you asked this person on a date and you said, we're going to meet at this corner and go from there, and they showed up and they had four friends with them. And they said, well, you know what? My friends are going to hang with us. So you went on the date with the friends. How much do you think you would really get to know that person you're dating? Now, you're going to get to know a side to that person, even with their friends, but a heart connection, a private heart connection, how much is that going to happen with the four friends hanging around? Probably not too much. What if you went on a date on the subway? And you met on the train, and the guy said to you, or the girl said to you, we're just going to sit on the train. We're just going to talk on the train. And you've got people all around you, and the guy next to you is a boom, 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 boom. You can hear it through the ear. And it's just like all this craziness, right? And you're on a date. Are you really going to share your heart with that person, with Joe standing right there, whoever he is or she is? I'm not. Or really listen to that person on the subway? Probably not. Or what if you said, I'm going to play my favorite music for you. Man, we are going to get together in my room, and I'm just going to pray for 2 hours. I'm just going to play you all my favorite music. That'd be great. You're probably not going to hear each other's hearts, though. You know, when I think about Craig, my husband Craig, the most intimate talks we've had have always been alone. We don't share our real hearts with each other in front of our kids. When I think about Julie and I know each other so well and love each other so much because we have told each other all the crap, like all the secrets. But we don't do it in front of other people. We do it when we're completely alone. Some of you come up to me on Sundays or other times of the week and say, would you be willing to meet with me? I need to talk to you about some things. And I say, sure, meet me here at the mission. And when you come, we don't sit in the lobby, right? I take you up the sixth floor, we go into the conference room so that we can have privacy, because I know you're going to tell me some secret things, some private things, and we need to be alone. And it is no different with God. The very same is true with God. You have to get alone. You cannot meet with God when you're with other people. And I hear that all the time. Oh, yeah, I pray all the time. You know, when I'm in the park with all my friends, not the same. When I'm on the subway, oh, yeah, I pray every morning. You do? You get up and pray with God every morning? Well, on my way to work, on the train. Really? You can hear God's voice with the racket of rush hour? Or, well, I listen to worship music. And that's a beautiful thing. Worship music is a beautiful thing, Chris. And it may help you feel the presence of God. It may help you worship. But it's not getting alone with him, connecting to the heart of God and sharing your heart with him. You wouldn't do it in any human relationship, and you cannot do it with God. And I don't mean knowing about God, because you can know about God. You can read your Bible on the subway. You can read books about God. You can come to church. I'm talking about knowing God. Amen. And that's where it starts. One of my very favorite speakers and authors is Jill Briscoe, and she's in her 80s now, and she's from England. In fact, C.S. Lewis was one of her professors at Oxford University. But she has just an amazing story, and she has a really intimate relationship with Jesus and a really real prayer life. And she wrote a book, and I've heard her speak on this before, and I just love the title of this book. You guys it may bore you to tears, but it's called, the title of the book is The Deep Place Where Nobody Goes, Conversations with God on the Steps of My Soul. And I just love that. It just makes me want to pray. Because I think about, oh my gosh, I can sit with God on the steps of my soul. Who else can go on the steps of your soul with you? Nobody. And we can go to the deep places that I've not even gone to with Julie or with Craig or anybody. Because really, nobody can really go there with me. In fact, I don't even go there as well as God goes there. The deep places. He is there sitting on the steps of your soul, waiting for you to go to those deep places with him. He wants this intimate relationship, and it starts with prayer. The disciples asked Jesus how to pray, and he taught them, and it's called the Lord's Prayer. It's in Matthew 6, and it's an example of how to pray. But he starts off by telling them this in verse 6 of chapter 6. Go ahead. He says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. Now, I do realize that some of you guys don't have a room to go into and shut the door. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing like super magical about that. He's just saying, get alone with your Father. Jesus got alone, and Jesus was homeless. But Jesus went into vineyards and prayed. It says that in the Gospels that he would get up early in the morning and go away to a quiet place where he could be alone with his Father. He didn't have a house either, but he found a way, and he was God. Why did he need to pray? Why did Jesus need to pray? Because he wanted to be alone with his Father, because they love each other. They have a relationship with each other. You know, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's just this beautiful thing that we don't understand. But I know this about God. God is a God of relationship. He demonstrates it for us in the Trinity. And he wants us to join in it. Are you guys familiar with Proverbs 3:6? It might sound familiar to you. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. But do you know that instead of in all your ways acknowledge him, the Hebrew literally says, in all your ways know him. Know him. We are to know him. We ought to want to know him. And if we don't, there's no shame in it. Like, you don't want to know God. What's wrong with you? It's not that. It's we're missing something. We're missing the beauty of God if we don't want to know this amazing God of love. If we are not abiding in him, we'll never know him. Because you know him through abiding in him. And the more you abide, the deeper you understand and begin to know him more and more and more. And the more you know and the more you abide, the more beautiful he is and the more loved you feel. But it all happens through abiding, connecting to him. Are you guys moved by his love? Does his love stir something in you, move you? And then when you spend time with him, does it move you? This God who is love, who loves us, who rescued us, he rescues us from a life of destruction, a life of meaninglessness, a life of purposelessness, a life without love, a life without God. That's a God who cares. And as we abide in him, that love becomes more and more real and stronger and deeper and richer and truer. And your experience begins with him, begins to grow in understanding of this love. And you begin to live like a loved person. You know, the first probably 40 years of my life, it was more to me about me loving him. I knew God loved me, so I just needed to love him. And in the later years of my life, it's much more about feeling him love me and living as a loved person. When I walk out of the door, I don't really want to leave my apartment knowing that I love God. I would rather leave my apartment knowing that he loves me, that I am a loved person. And I can live and function and everything I need to do that day as a loved person, because that really does change everything. Sarah Bessie, who is an author, I'm reading one of her books right now, she says, "No formula, no method makes me feel so fully human and alive as the radical act of living loved. Once you taste love, you are ruined for the empty shells of religious performance and conditions, like going back to fast food after a home-cooked meal eaten after a good day's work." Religious stuff, man. Empty shells. But meeting with Jesus one-on-one, knowing that you are loved and living as a loved person, changes everything. But this takes time. You know, I meet with some of you. I get the fortunate blessing of meeting with some of you one-on-one, and I know where you're at, and I know where you'd like to be. And I know that sometimes patience is an issue. Like, well, I don't have the relationship with God that you have or that I would like to have or that I see in Chris or Tuan or other people. It takes time. It does take time. Think about any relationship. You meet someone today. Would you fall in love with that person in a week? A month? How about a month? I mean, some you hear those stories. I met and married and it was magical. And that's very rare. You still don't really love the person till you know them. Love, love, love. And just like anything else, it's the same with God. It takes time. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows what we can understand and how much to give us. He knows you can handle this much. I'm going to explain this much to you. He knows how to work with us so that we get it in his good time, not our time. His time. So you really have to be patient. But abiding in Jesus sets us up to know that we are loved. Now, really quick, I'm not going to talk about this. This is a whole other message, but I at least have to touch on it. There are some roadblocks for some of us. I know that. Some of you want to know God or you want to abide, but you have these roadblocks. Like maybe your group of friends always pull you in the wrong direction. You know what the answer to that is, but I'm not going to get into it. Maybe there's just mistrust there. You just mistrust God. Or you don't feel like he answers your prayers. Or you don't feel like he ever comes through for you. So you don't abide. Or you start abiding, and then these things seem to kick in, and you back off. And you know what happens when we stop abiding? We just get further and further and further away. And before you know it, you don't even know him. He's like a faint memory. You think about Adam and Eve. What did Adam and Eve do? Instead of trusting God, what did they want? so many of us have this insatiable desire to understand what God's doing, right? We can't make sense of his timing, of things he does, of things he doesn't do. I've been praying for that forever. How could you let me be homeless? How could you let me lose my job? How could you? Whatever. And until we can understand, we're not going to abide or we're not going to trust. Does anybody struggle with that? It's like a common thing. I do it. And Adam and Eve did that. Instead of trusting God, what did they want? They wanted to know. They wanted knowledge and insight. And they received it. They knew they were naked, but at a price, a really serious price. Sometimes it's better not knowing and just let God be God. And I'm preaching this to myself, man, trust me. And how is that different from us, Adam and Eve, always, always wanting to understand God's ways and everything he's doing instead of just trusting him? But you know, the key to that is abiding in Jesus. Because if we abide in him, and when I say abide, I've just talked about what it means. It means engaging your heart, connecting to the heart of God, making yourself available to hear him. Really be with him in heart, mind, spirit. If we are doing that and we're staying connected to this vine that gives us life and gives us love and gives us all these things, if we spend time to him, with him, you know what happens? He fills us with wisdom. He fills us with compassion. He fills us with his the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that actually takes over and lives through us, and his guidance and his holiness and his love. He fills us with his love. And guess what? After a while, it becomes easier to trust him. But you have to stay connected. And after a while, you stop spending time with him just because you want to ask for things or you think you might get what you want. After a while, you love the giver more than the gift. Not that we don't have needs and not that we don't talk to him about those things. We do. He invites us to do that. But he needs to be the reason. He needs to be our heart, first place in our heart. I want to read this other quote from Sarah Bessie, this author I'm reading. She says, our work in this life... What's our work in this life? Anything that we're doing for God, anything that we're doing out of love. Our work in this life grows from the tree of his great love for us. So this tree that I talked about, this great big tree, this is his love for us. And we grow out of this love for us, birthed out of a glowing and real relationship with love itself. The organic blossoming of the fruit of the Spirit is only because of our life in the vine. And then she quotes Isaiah 30:21, and I love this verse. I've written about this in my prayer journal. I just love this verse. Whether we turn to the right or to the left, our ears will hear a voice behind saying, this is the way, walk in it. He comes alongside us. He's with us. He's in us. If we're abiding in him and he's abiding in us, he'll say, go this way. He's guiding you. He has a say. He wants to have a say. Might you get a home tomorrow? No. Might you get a job tomorrow? No, I don't know. But he will supply what you need. He'll give you strength. He'll give you direction. He'll be a constant companion. He'll help you let go of your bitterness and your mistrust and your hurt and your anger and all of that. Your addiction, he frees you. It all comes from abiding. So abide in Jesus, because it is the only thing that will get you through, I promise. Make him number one. Nothing else. Make time for him daily. Stay connected. Don't let anyone or anything pull you away from him, because apart from him, you can do nothing. Jesus, oh Jesus, thank you for this church, God. Thank you for this message. Jesus, how I long for you to speak to even those who are sleeping, who are even snoring, and just if you know they're not going to hear my words, God, maybe they'll hear your spirit. Help us to get this here, but to get it here, that you are love and that we can engage with you daily and abide in you, and you will abide in us. Show us how to connect with you. Show us where to go, how to find a church, a back corner pew in a church, or a building where we can be inside and people will leave us alone and we can just sit and talk with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, we're going to take communion this morning. And I just want to say that communion is when Jesus, just before he was betrayed, he said to his disciples, he had bread and he had wine, and he broke the bread and passed it to his disciples, and he did the same with the cup, and he said, to do this often to remember me, to remember what I've done for you, to remember the love of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus. So we do it as a church body. So if you are a follower of Jesus, we invite you to do this. This is for followers of Jesus. It is not wine, it's juice. And what we do is we invite you to come. We're not, give me a second to explain it first, but we invite you to come up when you're ready. Leave your seat, go up to the front, take the cracker and the juice, go back to your seat, and then you'll take it on your own. I'm not going to lead you through it, but spend a minute in prayer. Maybe confess your sins or thank him for a sacrifice, but just make it a time between you and Jesus, and then you take it when you're ready, and then Chris is going to lead us in some worship. Okay, so let me just pray. Jesus, thank you so much for your sacrifice on the cross, for your broken body, for your spilled blood, that you would go that far to show us how much you love us. Open our eyes to see and our ears to hear this true and amazing and incredible message, that a God would become a man, that a God would give up his life, become part of his creation, subject himself to that to rescue us. Jesus, thank you so much. We love you so much. In your name we pray.